Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Is a call-up the same as a fly-out? We'll figure it out.
Oh.
It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
And the highest level is flute out, so go ahead.
Oh, my God. You know what? The lowest level is what happened to me in this last segment. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll talk to Steelers offensive tackle Zach Banner coming up in a little bit. Start checking in on training camp. I looked up Jhené, and I was watching Hard Knocks last night, and we're already getting near cutdowns coming out for rosters this upcoming weekend, I believe. We haven't had preseason games or anything like that to kind of gauge time, but it feels like we're already in it.
I know, it's great because, you know, most of the conversations we've been having has been surrounding college football and whether things would happen or not, especially when it comes to conferences. But now the NFL sort of feels like it's flying under the radar. The games are coming and it's exciting.
It is very exciting. So we'll talk to Zach coming up in about a half hour. We're getting ready to rank. NBA postseason storylines have been many, and they have been furious right now. It seems like the bubble's almost been like a microwave for all of these takes. But before we get to that, whether it's side piece, spicy piece, or whatever, we have been a very nugget-centric show today, talking about chicken nuggets, should they be boneless buffalo wings. Jhené, you said you had a nugget for us coming back. I'm assuming I can't eat it, so why don't you let the people know what you're working with right now?
You know, my favorite nuggets are statistical nuggets, and this is from Richard Deitch. Game 7 of the Nuggets Jazz drew 3.385 million viewers on ABC, one of the most watched games since the restart, and a very big game for the NBA, especially when LeBron James, when he's on the court, he drives numbers up. But now this was a big game amongst all demographics, which means in our work marriage, I'm right. Because clearly, it was a big game. People watched it and people were excited for Game 7. They were not disappointed. They were sustained. Viewership was sustained. So, and for those who didn't catch it, like, apparently Junior thought that that was a good game that just had a lucky ending in the sense that it was entertaining, which is nuts. Like, that is the worst take ever.
Listen,
worst.
I didn't say lucky ending. I said it had a great ending. It had a flurry of a finish. It had, you know, Utah with a chance to go ahead and get a win at the buzzer. But instead, Jamal Murray and company took it home in very exciting fashion. And I said, that was great. I just looked up at the rest of the game and said, in NBA basketball, in the year of our Lord 2020, it should not be 70-70 in the fourth quarter.
But that's what happens in playoff basketball. They grind it out, and I'm not, like, coming in expecting for them to put up 130, 140. I'm expecting for them to get to 100. And, yes, it was a little bit below 100. So I guess the idea here is that despite our disagreements, even when I am right, or even when I'm wrong, I'm right, right? Like, that's the wife agreement. So I guess, you know, before I deferred to you, now I'm going back and saying if I'm wrong, I'm right still. So.
Yeah. No, listen, I learned that pretty early on. I have, you know, my parents showed me the way on that. My dad has never once been right in an argument with my mom, and that won't start on this show either, which is going to be interesting because now we're going to do something where we'll likely disagree again. So we were talking before. It seems like we are in peak hot takey sports playoff take season when it comes to the NBA right now. Everyone's legacy is on the line each and every night. And so we thought, all right, you know what? Instead of talking about those anymore as we stare down another Game 7 tonight with the Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, why don't we just rank all those headlines when it comes to that? And so we know one way to do lists around here. So, Cliff.
A-list with no limits.
In the kitchen, oh, cooking, good Lord.
Heat.
As long as it stops at 4.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Jhené and Golic Jr.
I still haven't figured out why we called this 444, but it's our top four lists, as everything does seem to revolve around food around here.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. At least we can sort of claim the chicken nuggets, because like 4 for 4 is a thing.
That is true. That is true. We are a very, very hungry show. Jhené, we're going to do top four NBA narratives going into the rest of the postseason, re-racking them so everyone understands what is at stake each and every night when we take the court inside the bubble with the association. You want to start us off?
So at 4, this is what I'm saying.
Number 4.
Whoa, snap, we in business now. At number 4, I'm going with the bubble breakers. You know, a lot of people are going to say, who are going to be the Cinderellas of the bubble? We got an early taste with Damian Lillard. But now we also saw Jamal Murray sort of become a Cinderella in the sense that we counted, you know, not necessarily count him out, but we didn't even put him into the equation, and now he's become a star. And then lastly, Jimmy Butler can be a bubble breaker in the sense of going up against the number one overall seed in the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, stealing off game one. Bubble breakers, to me, is the fourth best narrative.
All right, number 4, bubble breakers for Jhené.
Number 3.
What do we got?
At 3, I'm going to just have to go with the rivalry, right? Chris Paul, James Harden. You can go one way with James Harden is a top player in this league, and he's supposed to win. And then Chris Paul, you know, traded from James Harden's team and now playing him in the playoffs. So that rivalry to me is what everyone will be paying attention to tonight, but is not necessarily the number one overall in the bubble.
All right, rocking. We're working towards number one overall right now.
Number two.
Now, when it comes to number one overall in the bubble, the hierarchy has been set. It's not Giannis, yet it's LeBron James. LeBron James and the Lakers, they're clearly showtime, and so we will see if the Lakers can keep pushing, you know, the boundaries when it comes to them competing and achieving. They hit some bumps early on, but it seems like they finally hit their stride. So LeBron James, watching him, like, fine wine, he gets better with time, but he's 35, though.
He is 35, though, which keeps him from being number one, apparently. Let's see who is
number one.
Top on the list.
When we started this show, I wanted the show song to be Nuck, If You Buck, and I'm here to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's number one because he's likely going to be MVP, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. The expectations are so high, so everyone in the basketball world has eyes on him. Giannis is the number one storyline narrative. Will he be able to get his team to where they want to be? The finals, at least. But at least, ideally, a championship as well. And that is above the LeBron narrative, in my opinion, because he's going to win the award.
Huh. All right. You know what? Respectable list. I appreciate it. I know it's not the normal segment, but snapping on the list for the list on that one.
Thank you.
Now, we'll reorganize it with the right list. Here we go.
Number four.
Number four on this list, Jimmy Butler's redemption story. We all looked at Jimmy Butler going down to South Beach in Miami. We said he is doing this so he can just bigfoot everyone around there. He's not interested in winning, joining up with a super team, or being anywhere with a shot. And all he's done right now is come in and kick the door in on the Bucks party, game one of that series, as they head into game two tonight. Cliff.
Number three.
Is Giannis going to take over? People have loved this one ever since Giannis. Oh, yeah, down at three. Because, I think it's a little premature on the Giannis stuff right here. Maybe if you want to talk about the Bucks losing Giannis, that could be a bigger storyline. But Giannis, like, all of this stuff right now about he needs to check someone down the stretch of the game on defense, when we know that's not exactly his style on that end of the floor. He needs to take over in the fourth quarter on these games. We'll pump the brakes on that one, but it's still a pretty big one that people like sinking their
two-time
teeth
MVP,
into.
Though.
Listen, we got to understand how the hierarchy around here works. I'll explain. Number two.
Number two.
James Harden, do it in the postseason. This one's straight out of the Stugatz playbook right here. James Harden's at that point in his career, though, where I think it's fair to say, you've done everything else. You shouldn't be going to seven games with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You just shouldn't. Like, Chiney, I understand this is your team, but we
have
to have an honest conversation about this.
You're right. But remember, I told you I keep my expectations low, so I would put it down at four, not at two.
I understand that, but this is like when you're, like, doing something and acting out of pocket and going out every night of the week and someone has to sit you down and be like, you're too old for this nonsense. James Harden is too old to be doing that. This is one of the – and listen, this is the NBA. We love negative storylines, and so focusing on what James Harden hasn't done is a lot easier for everyone than focus on what someone else has done, which leads me to number one.
Number one.
LeBron James. It's always LeBron James. We're ESPN. It's LeBron James.
Period? Wait, is that on period?
Yeah, on period. It's LeBron. Like, I don't even need to say anything else. You can insert whatever storyline you want at the beginning and the end. It is still the sun and moon of the entire
NBA
situation.
So if LeBron James and the Lakers don't win, that is the biggest storyline of the NBA right now.
100%. And if they do win, it's the biggest storyline of the NBA because now LeBron's got three championships with three teams. All of a sudden, he's chasing down Jordan even more.
We're better than this. Giannis Antetokounmpo, when you're about to win MVP and the expectations are shifting, that's where the world should be. But then again, you know, it's Milwaukee.
You know
and
what?
Not LA.
We should be better than this. But this is a list about acknowledging all the areas where we default to the absolute lowest common denominator. These are the hottest sports talk takes when it comes to the NBA bubble, as ranked at Chiney321, at Mike Golic Jr., if you disagree with the way that we have organized these lists. But you mentioned we got to be better than this, right?
Okay.
Coming up next, I want to talk about one group that has outperformed expectations so far in the world of professional sports. We'll get to that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Today, Angola Jr. reminding you to tune into Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. And hell, while you're there, download, subscribe, rate, review the Chiney Angola Jr. podcast. Leave a wild review. We'll start reading them on air. I'm not above that.
I'm picking up my phone right now to try to figure out if I can do it in time.
If I can say, if you put like a good enough review, obviously with a 5-star rating, we'll probably read them on air. We're shameless like that. We're trying to get these numbers up.
I believe this. And I've seen some really interesting stuff. I think from someone in high school from you. Yeah, your high school era?
That is, no, a kid in college actually left a review and said that I beat him in a game of beer pong, but I was pretty cool about it. Like, I wasn't a jerk about winning. So, shout out to that guy. Leave more reviews like that. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests joining us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Again, we'll talk to Zach Banner from the Steelers in about 10 minutes here. Go inside training camp, because that is starting to heat up now. It has snuck up on us in a way that Chiney and I both talked about before. Something that kind of snuck up on everyone else. We're not used to Kirk Cousins being associated with controversy in any way. He's sort of one of the posters for quarterbacks in the NFL who generally tend to not say a lot. It's a position that we know comes with a lot of power, a lot of influence. And Kirk Cousins, that same quarterback, joined 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, a podcast on Spotify involving the NFL Network's own Kyle Brandt, who you see on Good Morning Football. And in that podcast, he was asked about his thoughts, some of them, on COVID-19, some of those around the world of the NFL. And he was asked on a scale of 1 to 10 where he fell on believing either masks were super necessary, he was very afraid of COVID, or 1 on that scale believing masks were dumb and you're all a bunch of lemmings. And his response was, I'm not going to call anybody stupid for the trouble I would get in, but I'm at about a 0.0001% on that. He said, I want to respect what other people's concerns are. For me personally, just talking, no one else can get the virus. What's your concern if you could get it? I would say, I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of approach. And just say, if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. You know, even if I die, I die. I kind of had that piece about it. He also went on to say, Chiney, that, you know, in this situation, for him, it's not about his personal opinion. It's about wanting to respect his teammates, other people involved in this, and that he wears a mask for that reason. And the response for this, Chiney, I'm curious, from you, what did you feel when you first saw these quotes from Kirk Cousins?
I think I'm just not surprised, because just as much as we have people that say wear a mask because we have to protect one another, we have people that probably don't think that they should be wearing masks. But at the end of the day, I think respecting the protocols that would put us in a position for us to all be safe, especially at least in your workplace, when you are not just accountable for yourself, but you're accountable for others, that to me is the most important part. Everyone has their opinions. Everyone has their purviews. But when we are together, when you are there and I am here, I would hope that in an environment, in a locker room, because we always talk about locker rooms, that's the culture you build. And that's one thing that I think has helped in this situation. Like, if there are people that are concerned, do you care enough about those people that are concerned that you would go out of your way to make sure that they feel good? And that's what teammates do. Again, there's a responsibility factor in the sense that if you put this information out, like, yes, you are an NFL quarterback. Yes, you are strong. You lift weights. Like, you are built to probably sustain a lot, you know, just physically, but also not just on the field, but personally. But that's not the case for so many others. And so we are responsible for those others as we move around, at least, you know, within the parameters of your teammates, your coaching, you know, your personnel and all that type of stuff. So I am not surprised that these comments happen. I'm more so happy that despite the comments, the mask is still being worn, because that matters to your teammates. And if it matters to your teammate, it should matter to you.
It's Chiney Golub Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golub Jr. and Chiney Agumake. And that's what it comes down to, is I would have loved to have seen this framed as NFL quarterback Kirk Cousins says that while my personal opinions might differ on the importance of mask wearing, I still understand that I need to do it for the safety of others and my teammates, because that was at the heart of the sentiment. And he came out and clarified that today in another statement, said he chose his words poorly and that ultimately what was at the heart of it was just that. And I think that's the important reminder in a lot of this, Chiney, is that words matter when you're someone with the platform that Kirk Cousins has. And I get it, you're on a podcast, maybe you relax your guard a little bit, you're joking around some, but ultimately, when you say something like, if I die, I die, and I'm not that worried about it, it can sometimes fuel the fires on other side of this when people aren't as responsible with that information.
Yeah, there's a whole subset of people that can find themselves in a precarious position if we are sort of casual with how we treat ourselves or treat one another. So, yeah, I think that's the thing. I'm very proud of us. Notre Dame, Stanford, and anyone else that can sort of see behind the message. We like to do our homework. We like to educate ourselves. But I'm proud because in these instances, it's easy to jump and say, oh, he's wrong, or oh, he's right. But what's behind all of that? What are the layers behind it? What can we take away so that we can be better, so that moving forward, yes, it's a podcast where you're literally told, like, hey, let your hair down. Just show us Kirk. Kirk, not the quarterback. We just want to know Kirk. But you're also in front of a mic. And that mic will send out messages that reverberate. And sometimes those messages can make us feel some type of way, right?
And I think especially around a subject that's this sensitive and this polarized, yes, and has been so politicized like this, is if you're not choosing your words carefully on this, and Kirk knows as well as anybody, it's not, well, Kirk Cousins can't make decisions for himself. It's no, he understands it's not just about him, and that his personal opinion, which he even says here, I'll say to his credit, my personal opinion on this doesn't really matter. But then you gave it publicly in a way that some people can siphon off, and whether they take it wrong or right, can say, well, Kirk Cousins isn't afraid of the virus. I wouldn't be either. Now, it also leads to a larger discussion on this, because I think you and I are on the same page with that. I've been surprised how well overall, maybe not surprised, but the NFL has done really well overall with its COVID testing numbers through the early part of camp. Janae, is there any part of you that's surprised with that?
I'm not, because the NFL had the runway that college football should have had, meaning, all right, we are seeing what's happening. Fortunately, the Super Bowl, when everything starts dying down, we have enough runway to plan for the next season. And that's what we saw, you know, college football, the New Year's Eve. That's sort of when we start shifting gears. It's like, okay, now we're planning for next season come February, right? You had a tremendously long runway, and also you could watch as other leagues did things that worked and didn't work. And that's where the frustration lies, because the NFL has created a system in which there's enough testing. People are at least adhering to protocols well enough that these conversations today actually matter and resonate. Like, talking about whether a player wears a mask or not, the message is that he's choosing to do so despite his personal beliefs. That gives me hope to think that they're understanding the severity of the situation they're in, so that they can put football out there. Like, number one, first and foremost. And it's just as tough. And I know it's tough for you, especially because in college football, it's not the case. Like, you see the runway that you could prevent certain situations from happening. And on one side, the numbers look great for the NFL. On the other side, there's so much split factions in college football.
Yeah, you mentioned the numbers for the NFL. The league and the Players Association announced Tuesday that 10 players and other team personnel tested positive for the virus during the league's latest testing period from August 21st till the 29th. According to the data, 8,739 players and personnel were given over 58,000 tests during that time period. That included 23,279 tests to the players in the league and 35,342 to the almost 6,000 personnel in the league.
Wait, positive signs. You know what they deserve? NFL.
Exactly.
They deserve some snaps.
And that should be the message going forward. Coming up next, we're going to talk to someone who's been on the inside, who's seen that process and experienced it firsthand in a training camp unlike any other. We'll get to that next. It's Janae Angolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Janae Angolick Jr., the podcast.
The NFL is just around the corner. We are getting oh so close to kickoff. Saw the Kansas City Chiefs get their Super Bowl rings last night. Pretty cool moment for them. Even cooler moment for another member of that extended Kansas City Chiefs family. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But if we're going to talk NFL, we might as well go to one of our favorite places and go inside the locker room right now. A Steelers offensive tackle, Zach Banner, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got to check in on him because, Zach, I saw on your Twitter you kind of went the LeBron James Zero Dark 30 on social media for this one. So how's it been social media-less inside training camp?
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having me, man. But I'll tell you what, man, it's probably been the best decision I've probably ever made in my career. It's one of the best decisions. Maybe I shouldn't make it that drastic. It is the best decision, but it really feels that way, you know. We're about one week away from breaking camp this weekend. And one, you know, it's a little different from a personal experience. Like, I don't want to brag or something. I don't know how to really handle this situation, but it feels good to know that I'm not like on the border of making the team or not. That's the first thing. But just to be in a position battle right now for the right tackle job, it feels really good to just be able to focus on ball. Not saying anything I was doing from an activist standpoint or a community standpoint or anything was a distraction. But when you're able to quiet the noise from the outside and kind of just focus on football and focus on yourself. I mean, I've been reading a lot during my breaks throughout the day and just kind of just focusing on bettering myself. Just me and my dog, really. That's it. My Great Dane. That's it.
Hey, that's a beautiful thing. Nothing like hanging out with man's best friend, getting a little reading in, and oh, by the way, like you said, getting to compete for a starting job for a team like the Steelers. And Zach, you mentioned quieting the noise, and we certainly, like you mentioned, that does not apply to a lot of the great things you've been doing off the field. We want to get to a lot of those, but some of the big news and big noise today around the NFL had to do with some comments that Kirk Cousins made about his personal opinions on wearing a mask, and ultimately that, I don't know if you saw or had a chance to digest any of that.
Give me a brief update. Sorry for cutting you off. I haven't. When you take away social media from a 26-year-old man, that's primarily my news sources, so I really don't. Can you update me briefly what he said?
Yeah, so Kirk Cousins joined Kyle Brandt on his podcast on Spotify and was asked for his thoughts about wearing a mask and things with COVID-19, was asked, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how he felt about his fear of the disease. And he said, you know, I would say I'm about a 0.001. He said, I want to respect other people's concerns. But for me personally, just talking, no one else could get the virus. What is my concern? If I could get it, I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature take its course, survival of the fittest type approach, and just say if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. He went on to say, though, that, basically he still believes in doing his part because he knows it's important for his other teammates. He clarified those statements later on, but that was essentially what he had to say.
Absolutely. So, I'm glad we're on radio too, because as you know, sometimes when you get beat writers and things like that, they can just quote part of it. But, you know, hear me loud and clear. This virus, when it pertains to certain individuals like those, as we know, who are older or younger or have, you know, other things that they're dealing with already, it has been proven to kill them. So I don't want to act like I'm not thinking about them, but we are tested daily. Like, I need everybody to know, like, you know, in terms of, like, especially, I'm speaking for the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? Coach Mike Tomlin is a preacher of wearing the mask. The only reason is because that is our job and that is our duty and because the NFL has asked us to. So when we are around public areas and we are around things, our team follows that. I don't want to make it seem like the Steelers have not been following the rules, because we have. From a personal standpoint, we are tested every single day, okay? I personally drive to work and come home. I'm responsible about it. I drive to work and come home. It's just me and, like I said, my 150-pound Great Dane. I don't have kids to think about. I don't have a wife or a girlfriend or anybody else in the house to think about what they've been doing, to think about where they've been, if they've been around it or not, da, 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 da. So I feel personally confident every time I walk into a room, and then everything else I have delivered to the house, my groceries, everything like that. I'm still social distancing. I'm still doing these type of things. Even when I go to a gas station, I wear a mask. But when we're around the building, when we're around the facility, I'm tested around, there's, 15 guys in the O-line room, right? That's the only time I take my mask off. Like, I'm in the room with them. They got tested earlier that day, you know what I mean? And they were tested the day before in the past 30 days. So to back up what Kirk Cousins is saying a little bit, I still want to have a little empathy towards, us not re-spreading it. But to be honest with you, like I said, I'm focused on football. And that's something that's, like, even without thinking about it, I know there's a pandemic. I understand that. But thinking about it from us, I don't think we're going to be spreading it around to each other or to others.
By focusing on football, you guys are taking all the necessary precautions, and I think that's the number one story. As you mentioned, we're here with Zach Banner of the Pittsburgh Steelers here on Chenae and Golic Jr. And speaking of the virus, it's a new environment, Zach, for you to ball in. Can you tell us about the adjustments that will come? You're already seeing it in camp, but the adjustments that will come with no fans and all the different changes to this season, what can we expect?
Well, Shanae, you went to Stanford, so you're used to not having fans in your stands. You know what I mean?
I'm just going to
go ahead and start that and put a smile. Hopefully that put a smile on your face a little bit.
But it really did. I love it already.
To answer your question, and I truthfully mean this is going to be really, really weird. You know what I mean? It really is. It's already weird. Like, it was weird when Coach Tomlin put, we did like two fake games or whatever you want to call it. You know, like we just go over it for the young guys to understand, like, this is where you walk into the locker room. This is the logistics when we go out the tunnel and when we come back in, da-da-da-da-da-da. When we went over that and we just ran out to, like, 10, 15 reporters, I mean, it was just – it's weird, you know. But regardless of if we like it or not, whether you accept it or think it's cool or think it's right or it's the right decision to do, the NFL is going to schedule a game, and I myself and the rest of my team have to be ready to be there on that Sunday or whatever day that is.
And we know you guys are going to be there from a football standpoint. Obviously, that standard set by Mike Tomlin and that organization, well-known and well-documented. But the standard you guys have also set this offseason, Zach, as you mentioned, there has been a lot going on in society, certainly from the killing of George Floyd, but even recently to the shooting of Jacob Blake. And I'm just curious what those conversations have been like in the locker room. You've been very vocal on a number of issues this offseason, but for you and the Steelers, what's it been like kind of working through all of what we've seen going on in the outside world?
Just talking to you two from a personal standpoint, you guys have been in sports as long as I have, if not longer. It's awesome. It really is. Like, regardless of what anybody has to say, I that's the hardest part, right? When you start putting on the quote unquote activist hat, when you start caring and you start caring publicly, the NFL starting, I don't know who started it, what league started it, the NBA, the MLB, whoever started it early this offseason, right? When the unfortunate, tragic situation of George Floyd and so many others happened in 2020. 2020 is a crappy year, but when early this year, when that happened, it kind of just was like, seriously? You know what I mean? Like, we still have to be quiet, you know? We still have to shut up and dribble. We still have to do these type of things. We just have to put our pads on and not talk and not say anything and not use our platform. As you guys know, especially the NFL, the NFL has been ran for so long and operated so long in a very, very high, powerful, you know, conglomerate that no one can touch, that no one can say anything, closed doors, closed walls. The owners, you know, they had so much power. But we have personal voices now. As long as we're doing our job, great, amazing owners like Mr. Rooney from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mr. Colbert, our GM, and of course, our head coach is one of the most winning black coaches in sports, period, winning us, right? They gave us the green light. As long as we represent the team correctly, they stand behind us. We have met as a team. We have met as an organization, and also as well as, you know, what do you want to call them, committees, you know, social. We have a social injustice committee amongst the team, but I've also been doing stuff myself. I love it. I think it's kind of like, you know, when you're balling on the court or on the football field or something like that, and you're dogging your opponent and they can't say anything about it. And you know, there's a lot of people out there who hate when you say something right. And what is right? Right is the fact that we're speaking out, and we're speaking out against racism. We're speaking about against social injustices. Sometimes we have to take a certain type of, you know, whether it's attendance or it's viewers or something, we're going to take a hit. But why would we want those type of people associated with our brand in the first place? So I personally love it, and it's not to stir drama. It's not to be in the news. It's not to be on any tabloids. It's not for the fake. It's not for the attention. It's not for anything. We are seriously making change as black and brown athletes, and there's a lot of awesome white athletes as well who are putting their neck out there for us as black and brown men and women, and it's truly pointing out the bad people versus the good people, if that makes sense, Mike.
Makes a ton of sense, and you've been one of the voices that's really cut through in a lot,
yes,
of these conversations. So Zach, we appreciate the way you've used your platform along with your teammates, and we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. Best of luck as you
smoke.
Absolutely.
So now you're part of the media now too. So now if you want me to talk real crap, we got to do it on the court.
We have a whole segment about side pieces, and I was about to make the Steelers my side team because, you know, I'm from Houston, Texas. So I'll have to reevaluate this after that.
Got you. You hit me up a few times, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zach. We appreciate it, man. Best of luck with everything. Zach Banner, Steelers offensive tackle, joining us on the show, Penn's Oil Performance Line. All right, Zach kept it real, and Zach kept the kind of energy we want around here. We're going to keep that same energy next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN, reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Chris Paul and the Thunder battle the Houston Rockets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Bucks and Heat have tipped off already, and Miami a commanding 4-point lead early on in this one. Giannis was not guarding Jimmy Butler early on. Really got to start to question if he wants it.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. I'm just wondering, did you know the dance? People won't hear the song, but did you know the dance I was doing? Do you know what that was?
I recognized it a little bit. I'm going to be
honest.
That
was a TikTok dance. Like, baby, don't give me some. I'm not going to sing Sarah Spain. She's probably listening right now. I'm not singing Sarah Spain.
Wow.
The
so
shade.
Sarah Spain calling Chanae out today for her lack of vocal prowess. We don't stand for that around here.
No.
We are going to formally challenge Spain and Fitz soon because that's who we are and that's what we're about on this show. Keeping that same energy. Cliff, we want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chanae and Golic Jr.
So this is for our favorite producer, Shannon. Knicks fans all around the country or just in the North. Okay. When you think about the season, you probably have lost a lot of hope. You got eighth in the draft lottery. So now you can channel all your hope to Dancing with the Stars because Charles Oakley will be a member, a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. But more importantly, like as much as we can root for him, are we going to be rooting for the Tiger King's enemy? Cliff, do we have it?
Oh, we don't have
it. We couldn't find it. We couldn't get that cleared in
time. Carole Baskin is also in there. So like that will be a great nemesis for Charles Oakley.
I was going to say, you can't, like, in good conscience, root for Carole Baskin, can you? Like,
that's what I was going to say. Look, it's going to be great because there will be a natural rivalry.
That is true. Charles Oakley versus Carole Baskin, the dance rivalry we did not know 2020 was going to get on all of this. So, shout out to them, I guess, on that one. Keeping that same energy here. How about my man in the Lincoln City Council going forward and demanding, or suggesting at the very least, that boneless buffalo wings have their names chained to wet nugs, spicy nugs, or as he said, trash in there, which I don't agree with on all that one. Keep that same energy of going forward and using the political process for good and understanding the change that he can make there in Lincoln on that.
I will never order a chicken nugget that is a boneless wing. You know, like boneless wings are pointless to me unless I'm trying to be healthy.
But are boneless wings like, really healthy?
But, like, that's the thing. I would go the vegan option of, like, the non-boneless, non-meat before I'd go boneless wings. Like, I need bones in my wings. And the internet has given us a huge ratio in the favor of flats.
Oh, we did because we asked for people with chicken wings, flats versus drums, and you put that up. It's a runaway, right?
Yeah, it's a runaway. Flats, by far, landslide.
Asked as would be expected on all this one. All right, Chanae, what else you got for us?
Well, I really – oh, yes, about – you know, both you and I want to get rings, but first it's better to get it in sports. So the Chiefs, right?
The Chiefs, yes. The Kansas City Chiefs got their Super Bowl rings yesterday in a ceremony at the stadium. Really cool moment. They had video tributes from the families. As we know, it had to be a little more isolated, socially distanced process for all of these guys. But it didn't stop there as Patrick Mahomes on ESPN News getting his ring right there turned around and gave the gift to his longtime girlfriend, Brittany Matthews. They are now fiancé. Patrick Mahomes proposing to his longtime girlfriend. She said yes and got a ring almost as big as the Super Bowl ring. Good Lord.
I had to screenshot that. Yes. Bruh, 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 bruh. Shout out to sis. I had to screenshot that because I was like, oh, that's it. Like, that's what I want. And talk about, like, started from the bottom. Now we're here. Like, started from high school, college, pros, Super Bowl. Man, what tops that?
A1 from the day one. When you can post high school prom pictures like we were the other day, and you're both in them, that means you've been doing something right throughout the course of
this.
Yeah,
and you both got bling. Like, what? That's uncharted. But yes, I screenshot it, and I was like, circle this. This is what I want. I sent it to my sisters. Well, I'm going to, at least, and send them. Like, if the day arises, hopefully soon, this is what I want.
And you know what? It's always great to be clear. My sister did that with her fiancé. Don't leave it up to interpretation.
No.
Speak into existence what you want. on
no,
this one.
Be so. Consulted. Take consulting. All the men out there that are single that might need to propose, like, reach out to the relatives, because it's not an easy yes. When you see the ring, you're like, you don't want the face to go like, yes, but. Like, you don't want that.
Yeah, yes, but we could have done better in this one spot right here. So congratulations to Mahomes, the entire Kansas City Chiefs team, and his fiance Brittany Matthews on this one. Also, in keeping that same energy, a very happy birthday to Keanu Reeves, a true legend on the silver screen here. Speed, The Matrix, and a lot of wise words along the way from Keanu here. We'll go and lead this up, I guess, to Spain and Fitz, even though we're beefing next on ESPN. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.